We have two readings this morning. The first reading is Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult, Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be moved. God will help it when the morning dawns. The nations are in uproar. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord. See what desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. The second reading is taken from the letter to the Philippians, chapter 4, verses 4 to 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Pray together. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that your word teaches and instructs. We thank you that it inspires and challenges and convicts. May we be open to the teaching of your word. May we be refreshed by it and encouraged by it, built up by it. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. For the next several weeks, we're going to be talking about prayer. A Princeton doctoral student asked this question: what is left in the world for me for original dissertation research? And Albert Einstein said, prayer. We need to learn more and understand more about prayer. You know, there's so much that we can say about prayer, so many different types of prayer. There's listening prayer, prophetic prayer, confession, petition, thanksgiving, intercessory prayer. We could actually pray through the full armor of God found in Ephesians chapter 6, praying through the different pieces of armor. We could talk about why does God answer some prayer and why does he not answer other prayer. We could reflect on the prayer that Jesus taught us to his disciples to pray, the Lord's Prayer. That's something that we could do. We could pray through and talk through the Serenity Prayer, the prayer that AA uses, or maybe Jabez Prayer. We could recall all the prayers that have been answered. You know, today marks the 608th day that Union Church has been praying, the Union Church prayer. Lord, change me and use me. Lord, change Union Church and use Union Church. We could hear from staff, deacons, committee of management, what actually has their experience been? They've been praying this book, Pray the Word. There's a daily prayer. They've been praying for the church. What's it been like for them? We could talk about them. We could hear their testimonies. Or we could kind of break up into small groups, you know, break up with the people around you. And instead of talking about prayer, we could actually pray. And at this point, some of you are going, oh, Lord, please, no, not that. I'd rather us talk about prayer. So we are going to talk about prayer. You can go, phew. Prayer is powerful. We read in the book of James, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Richard Foster, the kind of the guru of spiritual formation, he said this. He said, out of all the spiritual disciplines, prayer is the most central because it ushers us into communion with God. I don't know about you, but I love listening to stories about people who have had their prayers answered. It's so exciting just to hear how God intervened and how God met them where they were at. And I'm reminded of the great preacher Dwight L. Moody, and he would carry around with him a little book of about 100 names. And these were non-believers, and he would pray every day for them to become believers. And when someone became a believer, he would actually stroke their name off the list. And at the time of his death, 96 people had become Christ followers. Now, the last remaining four, became believers at his funeral service. An amazing testimony of someone who just persevered through prayer. Last week, we saw answer to prayer. Now, we had a financial need of somebody who wanting to go to university, needed some education, and praise God, that money actually came through, and God answered that prayer. I've heard people have prayers answered for employment. We've heard people have early diagnosis that has been discovered, and so they could get the treatment, the necessary treatment that they need. God is interceding on our behalf. So here's the question. Why is it that we don't take prayer more seriously? Why is it that people don't pray, or in some cases actually have just stopped praying altogether? Well, I can think of a lot of reasons why we don't pray. First of all, doubt. Some of us actually doubt the existence of God. Is he really all that fantastic? You sing about him, you read his word. I really kind of doubt who he really is. We may doubt his power. You know, we look around and we go, well, there's war, there's famine. I still see a lot of suffering. If God was really all powerful and almighty, those things would be eradicated. And so we kind of view God as maybe being a little impotent. We doubt if God really loves us. Does he really love us? Anger. Anger can prevent us from entering into prayer, a time of prayer with God. We look at our life and we go, you know, it really hasn't gone the way I would like. And we are just angry with God. One of my jobs as a student was I was working for a Christian communication organization in Toronto, and there was a morning broadcast that would go all throughout Canada and parts of the United States, and all day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, there were people that would actually answer the phone and pray. So people would call in and they'd ask for prayer for loneliness, prayer for medical tests, for jobs, a variety of things, and that was my job. I did that 3 nights a week from 6 p.m. until 1 a.m., and I would just, hello, and I would hear their prayer request, and I would pray for them. And what a privilege it was. But on occasion, sometimes people would call, and they would just unleash. They would scream, they would yell, they would rant, they would rave, they would just say, you know, I've had this need, God hasn't met it, where is God, why pray, he doesn't work. Unanswered prayer can prevent us from praying. God doesn't work, I prayed, nothing happened. And we kind of have examples of that, probably in your own life, but also when you think about Augustine, he wrote the book Confessions, and he talks about his childhood prayers, and he prayed that teachers at school would actually stop beating him, and they continued. Philip Yancey reflected on his childhood prayers and said, you know, I would pray that the bullies would stop bullying me and that they would just leave me alone, and how he did not experience a guardian angel coming down and answering his prayer. Faith can dangle in the thread of unanswered prayer. Faith can dangle in the thread of unanswered prayer. Impatience can prevent us from persevering in prayer. We live in an instant society. We say things like, "Hey Siri, can you play?" And voila, Siri plays it for us. And prayer doesn't always work like that, right? We pray this and we get that. It doesn't happen that instantaneously. A lot of us say we're too busy to pray, or there's just too many distractions to pray. We might feel unworthy to pray. If you really knew my life, if you really knew some of those unethical choices, decisions that I've made, if you really knew all that I was going through, and I really don't really feel I'm worthy enough to stand before God in prayer. Some of us might have made a deal with God. You know that prayer that says, you know, God, if you just see me through this, if I just get this job, if she says yes, then I will follow you. I'll obey. I'll just kind of keep the course. And God did his bit. He answered that prayer. But you actually have kind of gone along your merry way. And it's hard to kind of get back to God and kind of let that go. And I need to get back in that relationship with God. Some of us may wonder about technique. Am I doing it right? Maybe if I did it differently, God would actually hear my prayer. He would answer. And we've concluded that prayer actually must not work. I must be doing it wrong. Prayer. By definition, prayer is keeping company with God. Keeping company with God. It's been said that prayer takes time, and it takes time for us to let go and to allow God to recreate us, to play with us, to touch us as an artist touches a sculpture, a painting, or a piece of music with our lives. We are the ones who are changed through the process of prayer. God changes us. He transforms us as we pray. Earlier we read Psalm 46:10, "Be still and know that I am God." And the word "still" means actually in Latin, "vacae." And basically what God is saying is, come away with me, take a vacation with me. Stop being God for a while, let me be God, but get away with me and let me care for you. Let me look after you. Let me be God. Prayer allows us to let God be God. And it really means us climbing off the executive chair of our own life and just kind of letting God have his way in our lives. Kind of to uncreate the world in which we're pretty good at creating great things in our life. It's uncreating and allowing God to enter in. And we sang about that a little bit today. Through prayer, we can actually be honest with God. We can be real with God. He already knows it anyway, right? So it's about us acknowledging our weakness, acknowledging our limitations, acknowledging our fears, getting real with God. The fact is, we may not like the way our life is going, the way things are going, but that doesn't mean God doesn't exist. It doesn't mean that. Mother Teresa said this, "My smile is a great cloak that hides a multitude of pains. People think that my faith, my hope, and my love are overflowing, and that my intimacy with God and union will fill my heart. If they only knew. If they only knew my own soul, I feel the terrible pain of this loss. I feel that God doesn't want me, that God is not God, and that God does not exist." Martin Luther coined it the God who goes missing. Sometimes you ever feel like that? The God has gone missing. He's just not really there. Or you've heard people say, "I feel like my prayers just kind of hit the ceiling and they bounce right back down again." In those times, we need to really remember the promises of God. "I will never leave you or forsake you. Even if you are faithless, I will remain faithful. Invoked or not, God is present." We might be angry with God. Things may not have gone the way you wanted it to go. And it's okay to be angry. When you think about the Psalms, one-third of this book of Psalms are actually called laments. That's 50 laments. And these are kind of prayers of anguish and prayers of anger. And here's a few of them. Job, "Why did I not perish at birth? come forth from the womb and expire. The prophet Jeremiah cries out, why is my pain continuous, my wound incurable? The psalmist writes, oh my God, I cry out by day and you answer not, by night and there is no relief for me. Why, O Lord, do you stand aloof? Why hide in times of distress? Not all prayers are answered the way we think that they should be answered. Think about the Apostle Paul. You know, you might recall he had what he called a thorn in his flesh. And although we don't really know what that thorn was, he prayed 3 times for God to remove it. Would you just get rid of this thing that I'm struggling with? And God did not. And he needed to learn to accept the disappointment. And here's what he wrote. He said, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. Unanswered prayer. George Mueller claimed 50,000 answered prayers in his lifetime of a faith-based organization, an orphanage. He says, God answers prayer, but sometimes no is the answer. And sometimes we just need to wait, and we need to trust, and we need to have faith that in God. The Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Waiting. I hate waiting, actually. I'm a bad waiter. But when we think about all the people in the Bible waited. Think about Moses. Moses climbed up Mount Sinai. He waited 6 days before God actually spoke to him with the Ten Commandments. He waited for 4 decades to get a call to lead. He waited 4 more decades for the promised land where he didn't actually end up going. We know that David waited in caves. We know that Jesus performed miracles. The disciples wanted to go and tell everybody, and Jesus said, no, wait. My time has not yet come. Abraham, he waited for a child. The Israelites waited 4 centuries for liberation. The prophets waited for a Messiah. It takes faith and trust in God to wait. But it's in the waiting that our soul is nurtured. It's in the waiting that we can grow in patience and in perseverance and in trust and in anticipation. What about posture? There's no correct posture to pray. We can pray while we're sitting, standing, running, lying down. We can pray in any position. This summer, our family attended a Christian conference, and the leaders stood up and they prayed with their eyes open as they led the congregation, and there were thousands of us in the room. And you're now wondering, why was I watching them watch me pray? But I was, because I found it a little odd. They were actually praying and praying, but looking out. I would actually find that really distracting. But it was so they could see the work of the Holy Spirit, see where the Spirit of God was moving. So there's many different ways. It's not right or wrong way of praying. When I think about prayer and posture and technique, it's really hard not to think about Susanna Wesley from the 17th century. She was a mother of 10. She was a pastor's wife. And she's noted for when she went to pray, she would put her apron over her head. She would sit in the kitchen. And you can imagine 10 little kids running around. And she would sit there with her apron over her head, reading the Bible and praying. And apparently everybody knew that you didn't disturb mom during those times, unless it was an emergency. But she really made an intentional effort to commit to prayer. And her name might sound a little bit familiar to you. You might recall John Wesley. John Wesley, the famous preacher, he probably preached 2 to 3 times a day riding around on a horse. He preached to about 1 million people, which is a lot of riding around on a horse when you think about it. But he founded the Methodist Church. His brother Charles Wesley, I think over 6,000 hymns that we sing today were written by him. And so you can see the perseverance in prayer. You could see how Susanna, where she just spent time praying, regardless of what was going on around her, that there was really real fruit in her intentionality to pray. Now, sometimes people say, I don't know how to pray. And you're praying the Lord's Prayer, but you're looking for something more. Now, remember, prayer is a conversation. It's speaking to God like you would speak to a friend. There's no formula. There's no right or wrong. Remember, it's keeping company with God. Now, sometimes people find different tools helpful. You've probably seen Terry Appel's bracelet, and it says PUSH, and it's an acronym for Pray Until Something Happens. You might be familiar with ACTS, A-C-T-S, Adoration, Confession, Thanksgiving, Supplication. These are all wonderful tools that we can use to help us pray. Otherwise, sometimes we just ask, 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 or thank, 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 but it kind of gives us a more well-rounded way in which we can pray. But regardless, we need to be people who pray. We need to pray for our church. We need to pray for our city. As we were kicking off the fall and we were talking about different themes, we thought, why don't we talk about prayer, and why don't we create an acronym that we can use at Union Church? And we created using the acronym FAITH. And we know in Scripture it says, faith the size of a mustard seed will move mountains. Now, how big is a mustard seed? It's 1 to 2 millimeters in size. It's really, really small. And so instead of giving you little packages of mustard seed, we thought we would give you a package of Skittles. Skittles are bigger than mustard seeds, so we have big faith at Union. And what we thought was that we could pray the sweet prayer of faith and use Skittles. And so did everybody get Skittles this morning? Yes? If you didn't get one, please be sure you pick one up going out. And they're color-coded. So we have red for the blood of Christ, and we know that we are forgiven. We know the scripture passage, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But what do we need to do first? Confess. So we need to confess. I might not be right with you, God. I might not actually have made you a priority in my life. I might actually not have been very kind to my neighbor. I've not loved my neighbor as myself. I need to confess my sin before God. But the promise is, when I confess, he is faithful, he is just, he will and he does forgive. And that's the cross, that's the blood of Jesus Christ, and that's F for forgiveness. Adoration, it's purple. Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the Messiah, and so very regal. And so it's purple. And so all of the things, kind of the attributes of who God is, who Jesus is. And if you're scratching your head going, I have no idea what you're talking about. We have on the bulletin Psalm 46, which was read today. But on the bulletin, you have it in the message. And it has a lot of the attributes that God is our refuge, God is our strength, He is our provider, He is our protector. And Psalm 46 is a psalm of trust, that I can put my trust in God. And so those are things that you can give thanks and acknowledge who God is. Green, it stands for I am loved. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am created in the image of God. I am known by God. I am created by him and for him. I am loved. I belong. It's all the I ams. And so remember, we're praying this. We're kind of owning who we are in him, our identity in Christ. T is thankful, and it's orange. Think of Thanksgiving. So all the things you're thankful for. I'm thankful for the sun today. I'm thankful that I wasn't late for church and the Lyft got there just in time. And I'm thankful I found a taxi. And I'm thankful for mango sticky rice. All the things that we're thankful for. And H is for healing. It's yellow. We need to pray for healing. Healing for our own hearts. Healing spiritually. Healing emotionally. Healing physically. We need to pray those same prayers of healing for our church. We need to pray for healing for our city, for different people that are involved. So the sweet prayer of faith. So we encourage you, as you eat your red Skittle, you will pray the prayer of confession, of forgiveness. As you eat your purple, you will pray the adoration prayers. You will, and so on. You're like, I'm not eating this bag. That's like way too much. But it's just a good reminder of ways in which we can pray. Hebrews chapter 11 is really the famous kind of who's who of the faith. If you want to know all the big players of the Bible, look at Hebrews chapter 11, and it lists all of them. And they're championed, and they're hailed as heroes because they kept the course. God didn't answer all of their prayers. A lot of them struggled. There was a lot of suffering, but they were faithful right to the end. And so it's called Heroes of the Faith in chapter 11 of Hebrews. But Hebrews chapter 12, and I want to read from the Message because it's just such a good reminder for us. And this is what it says. Strip down, start running, and never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished the race that we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed, that exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way. The cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor right alongside of God. Prayer, keeping the company of God, the keeper of our soul. Jesus says in Matthew 11, verse 30, and again it's the Message translation, "Are you tired? Worn out, burnt out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you will recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." Prayer, keeping the company of God, the keeper of our soul. Amen. Amen. Lord, we thank you that you do know us and you love us. And we thank you that you are Emmanuel, God with us. And we thank you that you are the healer. And Lord, we just ask that you invade the corners of our own lives that might be fearful, that might doubt, that might be wounded and broken. And Lord, help us to rest in you. Help us to cling to you, the author and the perfecter of our faith. We thank you, Lord God, that we can keep company with you all the time. 24/7. In your name, amen. Amen.